Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
And welcome, everybody. It's the beginning of a new week. It's great to have you with us. 6 minutes past 6 o'clock on a Monday, whether you're listening in the morning or the evening replay. Thank you. Because every day we talk about things that impact your life, and I hope that you find this show, at least marginally, informative and valuable to you. Not just entertaining, because I really don't want to be just an entertainer. I want to make a difference. I want you to make a difference. It's really kind of the only reason to do this. Hey, question for you. You know, since there's lots of pictures of climate activists that are shutting down the roadways and the intersections around Washington, D.C., including the interstate, 395, do you think that's going to spread to Oregon? But even more importantly, do they damage their own cause? Now, the reason I say this is because lots of this is, I mean, we just had the climate student walkout over the, well, what was it, Friday? Thursday or Friday, anyway. We just had that all across the country and right here in Oregon, right? So at what point does this radical leftist view, does it start to move people in the middle, the persuadables, towards you, towards me, towards rational common sense, folks? At what point? How far do we have to go? Are these people shooting themselves in the foot? When they do these things, students walking out of school, administrators saying, hey, it's just fine with us. You go right ahead. We're going to give you unexcused absence or excused absence. You're all right. We're not going to hold it against you. If you want to engage in all of that useful idiot stuff, I'm sorry, that First Amendment protest stuff. Yeah. If you want to do that. The next time that the school district comes back and say, hey, we don't have enough money, give us more. We don't have enough money to repair and fix our schools. Why? Well, because we're not really teaching our kids anyway. I mean, we're letting them off the hook. They can go protest whatever they want. And we think it's just fine. Does that at some point create a backlash? Can you use issues like that to, again, persuade the persuadable? It's the whole point of the show, and that's why I do this radio show every day. 503-589 is the 589-1220. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. I actually have got a great email from Dwight about that useful idiot student walkout. Because it's not only just political theater, as one person ask, but it's even more than that. It's far more than that. Hey, did you see how the governor all of a sudden has decided to announce an opening on the Oregon Court of Appeals? Now, I can't imagine why that would happen. Jeez. Oh, by the way, Friday after I got off the show, about 9 o'clock, I got an email from the Oregon State Bar because, you know, yours truly. And I launched that, filed a bar complaint against lawyer Misha Isaac for this sordid affair. And basically, they just swept it under the rug. The Oregon State Bar basically said, hey, no blood, no foul. Yeah. So the governor now says, hey, I'm committed to transparency. I'm going to announce every one of these. Now, in what has to be, now, this is an Oregonian story by Hillary Baroud, who's done a really good job. But it's the understatement of the year. What she says here in the third paragraph, she says the governor also appears to have faced some pushback over her selection of Isaac for the Court of Appeals without seeking or considering outside applicants. Do you think appears to have faced some pushback? Well, let's see, just about every newspaper in the state wrote an editorial against it. Yeah. I would say so. And racism. Oh, racism is front and center. You know that story we talked about the racist comment that apparently I made in saying that, you know, the guy from Washington and the gal from California who met in the Clackamas Town Center parking lot and got arrested for having heroin, apparently dealing heroin, transferring heroin. You know, that little old story, because I mentioned that they were both Hispanic. No word yet, at least I haven't seen, if either one of them are illegal aliens. But aside from that, an Oregon state representative by the name of Janelle Bynum, says her 17-year-old daughter was racially profiled while seated in a car at Clackamas Town Center. Isn't that the same Clackamas Town Center where the story notes, this is again an Oregonian story, it notes that, there's lots of drug dealing going on in the parking lot. And the daughter, along with two friends who happened to be black, couldn't get into the movie that they wanted to see. They were sitting there trying to decide what they were going to do. And so, you know, the management of Clackamas Town Center, which just had their, well, a very high-profile story, the one I mentioned, Clackamas Town Center being a place where there's lots of drugs that are being transferred. The Town Center has a anti-loitering policy now. I can't imagine why. Maybe because there's drug dealing there. Oh, but no, Janelle Bynum says it's racism. So again, I ask you this. At what point, first of all, kudos to the Clackamas Town Center management for having mall cops that are on the lookout for this stuff. I think that's a good thing. Because you see, it reflects poorly on the mall and the people who pay, the businesses who pay money to have businesses in that mall. When you have lots of drug dealing going on out in the parking lot, because sooner or later that becomes known, right? So good for them for trying to do something about it. But as the left continues to say racism, just yell it on anything. At what point does that then start moving people and saying, you know what, this is just too far. This is just dumb. If your life is inconvenienced because high school students or climate activists maybe you're somewhat sympathetic to this whole idea of climate change, and you're starting to buy the lie because you've been brainwashed by the news media, by everybody else, by your kids coming home from school saying, hey, we're destroying the planet. Okay. So maybe you're one of these reasonably sympathetic people, and all of a sudden your life is inconvenienced repeatedly by these far-left extremists who claim to be climate activists, like the Twitter video that I'm watching right now in Washington, D.C. At what point does all of that begin to move you and say, all right, look, fine, I'm okay with, you know, recycling. I'm okay with, you know, driving an electric car. I'm okay with cutting the stuff that comes out of smokestacks because I think it's dirty and I think it's bad. I'm okay with that, but don't you keep me from, say, being a single mom coming home from your job and being late and getting fined by your daycare provider. How many of you have had that experience? Many of you have had grandkids or kids that have had that experience. Hmm? At what point does this start to say to you, this is just too extreme? Where does that pushback take you? Where does it take us? You know, it was interesting because yesterday I had this conversation. I was in Pasco, Washington over the weekend celebrating the birthday of one of my grandsons. And I had this conversation with my stepson and daughter-in-law about this issue. And you know what? Their you know, they're reasonably conservative, and you know, they want their sons, as I do, to not grow up being brainwashed and to grow up having opportunities that you and I have had, and that we think is the greatness of America, the timeless principles of liberty. I talk about that because it's real. And I want those sons, those grandsons, to experience that. And I don't want them to come out of public education being brainwashed. But my daughter-in-law said she believes that this, her son's generation, are going to be the generation that is probably going to be brainwashed to the extent that they vote and make really dumb decisions. Decisions that ultimately take away the greatness of who, what America is, and what it extends to all of us. And that greatness is not just an economy, friends. It's more than that. It's deeper than that. It is those timeless principles of liberty. Because those principles of liberty do what? They allow each of us as human beings to reach our potential. Because it, you see, the law and fidelity to the law is based on biblical principles. You see, salvation is for everybody. Liberty is for everybody. It doesn't matter what your race is. It doesn't matter if you're Janelle Bynum and you're yelling racism because your daughter, because a mall cop comes up and says, hey, what are you guys doing here at the Clackamas Town Center Mall? Because they've been parked there for 10 minutes. Is that loitering? You see, liberty knows no color. Liberty knows no religion. It doesn't. And that's what we believe in this country. And at some point, how extreme does the brainwashing in public culture on social media, in our school systems, in our forms of communication, whether it's Instagram or it's Twitter or whatever these, you know, WhatsApp, Snapchat, whatever. What point does this destroy the principles of liberty and take us back in the name of the environment, take us back in the name of being not racist, take us back to tyranny, and the cycle starts all over again? Go back to what the lady asked Benjamin Franklin at the end of the Constitutional Convention, where she asked him that question. What say you, Dr. Franklin? Do we have a liberty or a democracy? Or excuse me, do we have a republic or a democracy? And he said a republic, if you can keep it. How true. So at what point, I ask you this question, because I want you to think about it over the break. At what point does all of this nuttiness move the persuadiveness? And there's a backlash. Is it all coming, or do we remain a divided America? Do we remain an America doomed because of our liberty? Let me explain that. 6:20 in the morning.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. In a moment, I'll explain my parting comment as we went into the last break. Are we doomed by our own liberty? But I'm going to remind you that CBD products, well, they make a difference in my life, in my family's life. Maybe they could make a difference in your life. I buy my CBD oil products from Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care down on South Commercial right next to Safeway. You know, in fact, there's an article, there's an opinion piece in over the weekend about how CBD oil needs to be regulated. Well, of course. And who do you suppose that's coming from? Well, you know who it's coming from. The people that don't like how CBD oil and its what appears to be some pretty miraculous benefits are benefiting people. You see, it's hurting their sales. Now, who would that be? Think about that for a moment. You can expect anything that is not FDA approved or AMA approved is going to be assaulted by people who benefit from having those monopolies on those things. Sometimes natural things are really good for you. Because, you know, you don't need to take a pill or a drug for everything. They have their place. You've heard me say that many times, and I firmly believe that. But, you know, if you can keep yourself from getting into a place where you need those drugs, that's kind of smart, isn't it? And maybe CBD products can help you get there. They certainly help me. I certainly sleep a lot better when I take CBD oil before I go to bed at night. So why don't you go talk to the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. I think it's worthwhile. South Commercial, right next to Safeway. Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. All right, so what did I mean by this? The state we are we asking this question? Are we doomed by our own liberty? Well, with great liberty, comes responsibility, right? You know, when you're a kid, you have to kind of abide by the family rules. I was watching my stepson and his wife limit the boys to so many hours a day with their tablets. They don't have cell phones. They're 6 and they're 8. Good for them. So they're limiting that, the time on them. That's good. Because it establishes rules, right? So the sooner we teach our kids that you have the ability to really kind of choose your own destiny, because that's what liberty is. It's using your talents and your abilities to the best of your, for your benefit. And that with that liberty to be anything you want to be, to make any decision that you want to make ultimately, there still comes responsibility. And there still comes the adherence to the rule of law. Because no matter what, you have to have the rule of law. It has to be something, whether it's personally as a person of faith or it is just us as individuals living our lives in every way, there are rules and there are laws. That's the whole point of liberty. Has to have and come with some responsibility. We have to act in a responsible manner. You can't drive down the freeway in a manner that is dangerous to other people, even though you have the liberty to drive fast and break the law. You still have to be responsible about it, don't you? You have the liberty to say really anything you want to say, because it's guaranteed in the First Amendment for the most part. You know, the business about yelling fire in a crowded movie theater, causing people to act crazy and nutty and go stampede and people get hurt. No, there are limits to your liberty to say anything you want to say. Okay. So is that liberty in which teachers can teach anything, right? Well, not really, because at least school boards nominally are supposed to set the tone and approve curriculums. I know I do at Oregon Connections Academy, the online K-12 charter school that I helped found in 2005 when I was in the legislature. Now I still continue to serve as the president of that board. We have 4,500 kids in our school all around the state of Oregon. Yeah, I care about that curriculum. But we have the liberty to allow things to be taught in our schools, school boards do, that maybe are good for society, maybe are not. Maybe are good for culture, maybe are not. My point is that with liberty comes responsibility. But if because of politics and ideology, and if because of politically correct thinking, our liberty can become endangered. Because the climate activists that are out, at least in Washington, D.C. today, that are out there slowing down traffic, making government employees paid by you and I, the taxpayer, late to work. With liberty comes responsibility. If they are acting in an irresponsible manner, does that ultimately gain traction and the culture of America, our kids, our grandkids, like my two grandsons, do they ultimately buy the lie and become brainwashed and think it's just fine? Or does that thing created in each of us, where I think God created us with this desire to live free, does that defend the cause of liberty? Where do you think this all ends? Would love to get your perspective. 503-589-1220. You see, liberty is a precious thing. And I'll tell you, the principles of liberty are indeed timeless because they are the things that are innate that God created, inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those are rights given to us again by God, not by government. Those are timeless. But yet we can allow them to be either diminished or ultimately subject to tyranny because of politically correct ideology. So again, with great liberty comes great responsibility. At what point does our liberty doom us as a republic? Doom our God-given inalienable rights? Or will there be a backlash because of those God-given inalienable rights? What do you think? 503-589-1220. Oh, there's more and other interesting things to talk about today. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Back in a moment at 6:30. Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
All right, welcome back, friends. It is 24 minutes to the top of the hour. The phones are loaded. Everybody hang on just real quick. I want to remind you what we're talking about here, folks. I asked this question, and I'm serious. At what point does our liberty doom us, doom our liberty? You know, all this nuttiness about what's going on in Washington, D.C. today that probably spreads to Oregon, these climate activists out literally stopping traffic on the freeways around Washington, D.C. All the high school kids here in Oregon and all across the country that walked out on the climate protest the other day. Does this nuttiness ultimately backfire on them, the extremists, the radicals, because the persuadables, the people in the middle, who are inconvenienced by all of this, say, all right, I'm sympathetic to some of these things, but you've just really screwed up my life. I don't like it. At what point does that wake people up? Or does the fact that we are a republic, where we're supposedly governed by the rule of law, at what point do they load the courts? I'm going to throw that wrinkle in. What point do they load the courts with liberal justices who say all of this nuttiness is okay and it doesn't impinge on our liberty? Because it's okay to limit
free speech if it's not politically correct. It's okay to say a pastor or a radio talk show host like little old me can say, I don't think transgenderism is real. I don't think the taxpayer should be paying for 15-year-olds to have sex change operations paid for by the taxpayers. And a parent can't stop it. Because that's what's happening in Oregon. At what point does liberty doom our liberty? To the phones. We'll start with our first caller. Caller, good morning. Who are you and what do you think?
Hey, am I on the air?
You are, and who are you?
My name is Ed. I'm from Lebanon.
Hey, Ed, great to hear your voice. I used to represent Lebanon when I served in the legislature.
Well, you probably know who I am anyway. Okay. I have some of the same last name as that in my ancestry is what you have. So.
Ah, okay.
All right. Here's just an interesting wrinkle. It doesn't maybe apply to every part of the question you're saying, but in 20 years ago, I was on a missionary trip to Latvia. And the missionary there was born in the Ukraine and was they had gotten the liberty to actually expose the kids to the Bible after Soviet communism was taken down. And they became an independent nation. They were no longer under Soviet domination back during Gorbachev and all the things that happened then. So we were walking down the street, the missionary and I, and we walked past a pornography store. And he said, you see that? I said, yeah. He said, under Soviet communism, that was not allowed. And that made me think a whole lot. And it also made me understand that liberty is fragile.
It is, Ed. And that's exactly what Ronald Reagan said many times. And I'll paraphrase Reagan because it's the perfect point to what you just made. Reagan said, and he was so right, liberty is not something we pass on to our kids in their genetics. It has to be constantly taught and fought for, debated. And that's what our republic gives us the opportunity to do. But you're right, because you see, we have the liberty to sit at our computer today, Ed, and see all the porn we want to see if that's what we want to do. And experience all the damage that it does to culture and the demeaning to women specifically. We have the liberty to do that. And that's the whole point about faith, isn't it? That faith is engaging in self-restraint, personally putting yourself under the rule of God's law and us as a republic submitting to man's law, our form of government. Excellent point. Ed, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. I know who you are. Let's go on.
And I have
Rebecca.
One more thing to add to that, and that is just the implications of what this country was founded on was on the principle of a Judeo-Christian biblical form That's sense right. of morality.
That's right.
That was the underlying factor that made liberty work.
Exactly right, and that's why Dr. Franken said what he said. It's a republic. If you can keep it. Thanks, Ed. Let's go on to Rebecca, who's on the line. Rebecca, what do you have to say this morning?
Well, in response to what he said, there's many Christians today who don't understand the difference between the Judeo-Christian morality and what's being presented by the communists, who are trying to confuse us about morality. Buttigieg is a good example. He's presenting as a Christian homosexual married to another man. That's just one example. But anyway, what I called in about is that yesterday a woman, after she had signed the petition, said, I hate your Trump hat. And I said, but Trump is doing so much good for our nation. And she said, oh, I can tell you're a Fox News person. And that I've had that exchange with several people in the past month, it always has confused me, because why can they sign the petition and understand about the governor, but they don't refuse to encompass the things that Trump is doing to save America. And in relation to that, I recently, because of Wheeler constantly harping on the Proud Boys and the Three Percenters and the Patriot Prayer Group and calling them fascists, I went and looked up Proud Boys, and their mantra comes from Archie Bunker. They are encompassing Archie Bunker as their icon, and they are saying men are men, women are women, we're proud of America, we're proud of what we've built, and we refuse to be ashamed of anything we've done. And for that, because they're marching in downtown Portland, they're being called fascists. So what's being done to us is to try to confuse us and to try to message things to us that make us, we don't really understand what we're doing. We can understand a few things, but we don't understand the big picture. And this is what was done in Germany by Hitler as he tried to come to power, and then he quote unquote saved the people from the confusion.
Let me ask you a question, because you just brought up an interesting point here. You told a story about this woman who signed the petition to recall Kate Brown, and you don't understand how someone can do that and yet still reject Trump. Well, okay. And then you bring up the example of Hitler. So isn't this a peculiarity of human nature, Rebecca? I mean, just think about the number of people who bought into the lie of Aryan supremacy brought on by Adolf Hitler, right? And Nazism.
Well, what Hitler did at the same time, I don't think he was promoting Aryan supremacy only. He also had people out on the streets stopping traffic, assaulting people, doing basically what the Antifa is doing, you know, like stopping traffic. There, Antifa comes out and beats up the Proud Boys.
But my point, Rebecca, is increasing the amount of chaos in human nature is
what Hitler did, and then he quote unquote saved them from the chaos by bringing in law and order.
Well, exactly. But what is it about human nature that allows people to be susceptible to these arguments time and time again throughout human history? Hitler's just one example. There are others, and we're seeing it happen today. Look at the craziness associated with hero worship over Barack Hussein Obama.
Well, one other thing that Hitler did that our schools are modeled after, our schools, our public school system was actually put in place by three communists. One of them was named Dewey. I can't remember the names of the other two.
It was Thomas Dewey.
The public school system has been modeled after the type of school system that Hitler ran and that the Communist Party has run wherever it exists, in that they had to try to get rid of our Judeo-Christian viewpoint. They had to, in the schools, originally the Christians who influenced the school system put up, the Christians, because our country was full of Christians, they put up monuments to the Ten Commandments voluntarily. And so the ACLU has spent years going through the courts and forcing people to take down the Ten Commandments.
Right.
But what's so bad about the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments remind you that God is the one who gives us our rights and that we need to do these things to serve our neighbor and to serve God.
Well, this is exactly why elections matter. And unfortunately, Rebecca, we got to let you go. You didn't answer my question, and I think it's central to this whole issue of, does our liberty doom us? With great liberty comes great responsibility, doesn't it? Let's see what Art has to say on the other side of the break. What do you think? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Back in a moment. Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. Last segment for the show. We'll get to Art in just a moment. I want to remind you that, you know, you should have life insurance. I mean, it's just a smart thing. And I don't care what your age is. It is a good thing to have. Because it's the responsible thing. Remember, you know, the theme of the show today is with great liberty comes great responsibility. Well, that means taking care of your family. Now, if you don't think maybe that you have enough life insurance to take care of your family, if something bad happens to you, and things happen, it's just what happens in our world and in our lives sometimes. So be prepared. Make sure that you're prepared to take care of your family. Nobody better to talk to than a guy who shares your principles and values. And that's my friend Fred Thompson. He's the New York Life agent. Why don't you call him? 503-428-7479. 503-428-7479. He can do a lot of things to make your life better. Fred Thompson, 503-428-7479. A couple of quick emails before we get to Art, because I promised you. You know, Jim wrote me an email about the student walkout. He says it's a great example of mass mental illness. Mass, and I wrote him back, said mass brainwashing, maybe? Mass politically correctness? I mean, it's a serious thing. Now, Dwight had sent me an email, and this is what I alluded to at the beginning of the show, with a couple of headlines. And they were both from the front and the back page of the Salem Statesman Journal. The front page. Here's the headline. Student assessments show low declining test scores. The back page. Quote, students to skip school, fight climate emergency, unquote. He writes, the first headline addresses what a bunch of dullards we have as students in Oregon. Second headline points out that these knuckleheads would rather skip school than work on improving their national test scores. No way. Would Governor Kate Brown, he writes, and school administrators who possess perplexing letters behind their names be to blame for such poor performance of the students? The blame rightfully falls on the shoulders of the dullards who place absence from school ahead of academic performance. Yikes. That's definitely an indictment on the public education system. Let's go to Art. Art, your thoughts this morning.
Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, buddy.
Now, we're never going to lose our liberty as long as we have faith. And that's something that they can never take away from me. And I don't think they can ever take it away from you, Jeff. So is our liberty doomed? No, because we will continue to fight injustice, fight wrong thinking, and therefore we can't lose it, because you know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guaranteed that as long as we keep our faith. Now, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and who knows, is this climate thing, the change thing, what's going to lead us finally to revelations and Armageddon and all that kind of stuff. Only God knows that. But as long as we keep our faith, we know the difference between good and evil. We never lose our freedom and our liberty.
Well, that is true in terms of Christ and our
you know, our ultimate liberty in Christ. But when it comes to a governmental system, we can certainly lose that. I mean, we are every day, Congress and the courts, unfortunately, again, elections have consequences, and we're seeing Donald Trump, I think, put the right kind of people who believe in liberty, that they're timeless principles that come from God. Those constitutional conservatives are being filled in all of our courts, the district courts, the appellate courts, and the U.S. Supreme Court. That's a good thing, but that can be taken away. And with those elections, with somebody else, Art, they could put judges in place who will limit our God-given rights.
Well, absolutely, Jeff, but, okay, and they may try to take it away, but as long as we have our faith, personally, they cannot take it away from you and from me, and as long as we continue to fight for right and wrong, there are going to be individuals who do the crazy stuff, but we are always promised freedom, eternal life, et cetera, et cetera, because of our faith. And so they may try to force us to do things, you know, that we know are wrong. But no matter what, you know, just like those people who are being attacked by government because they will not, condone same-sex marriages and all that, they haven't taken care of their rights. They've had to pay a personal price, but they ultimately did not take away their faith and the way they think. And so, that's where I'm coming from, Jeff. Yeah, there's going to be times that things happen. But as long as we keep our faith, we never lose our liberty and freedom because we carry it in our heart.
Amen. That's exactly right. Thank you, Art. It's a great thought to conclude the show today. And this is why you hear me say this basically every day, and because I mean it. Oregon is moving in the wrong direction. We can change it. We can change it one person at a time. Every one of you, each and every one of you, have the ability to influence others, persuade the persuadables. You also have the ability to pray. And we need prayer. We need a lot of prayer for our leaders, even those leaders that we don't like or we don't agree with politically. We need to pray for them. We also need to pray that people will wake up. But you also have got to be committed to the principles of liberty. They're so important. Don't be afraid to stand up and say something. Even if you know that there are going to be others, where it's on social media or maybe it's in your place of work, that are not going to agree with you. That's okay. We can do this respectfully. And we can ask interesting questions and begin conversations with people to get the persuadable people to start thinking about things at a deeper level and get their nose out of their phone. Rich writes me an email and says, "Hi, Jeff. The student walkout is the, as you know, just a phase of indoctrination." Yikes. Lee writes an email, said, "The art of non-discrimination. This is confusing," he says. "Look anywhere and you'll see a range of self-expression. Bright colored hair, tattoos, clothing, to the lack of clothing, all demanding attention that no one is supposed to comment on. You can no longer describe another by their skin color, hairstyle, body type, nationality, age, or any of the 26 genders. Nope, the only safe thing is to say person, using simple logic." He goes on to talk about this. How true. We are a nation worthy of fighting for, don't you think? Pray, be active, stand up for what you believe. Get out there, make it a great day today. Be back tomorrow, and I hope you will be too. See you then.